Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll pre-record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Eagle Hour back on the road. We're in Laurel, Mississippi, Laurel Fairgrounds, and I got a big Christmas event going on here. We're going to be talking about later. Very happy to be here. Word of advice, if you're doing a remote for Ben Windpigler and you say, Ben, it's really cold. Are we going to be inside? Oh, yeah, you'll be inside. Wear your long johns. We're inside an unair-conditioned building, and fortunately, we just closed the door. It was a nice cold breeze blowing in, and Ben, we appreciate it. Always good to be with you, brother.
But luckily, with me on the show, Bob, there's a good supply of hot air. So
that's boy. For sure. It's pretty tough in the summer, but today it feels pretty good. Hey, we're glad to be here, and this is a great event that's going to be taking place starting tonight in Laurel. And we're going to be telling you a lot more about that in the coming hour. But first, I want to get right to the show. We've got our good buddy Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune. And, Patrick, I'm going to go ahead and say it. We have sources that tell us that Charles Huff will be the next football coach at Southern Miss, and the announcement could probably come Sunday, we think. Your thoughts about Charles Huff? Patrick, let me say, first of all, I was reading up on him last night, and he has an impressive Division I resume, and it seems to me that this would be a real coup for Jeremy McClain. Your thoughts about this hire?
No, I agree. I mean, if you want to make Southern Miss football relevant again, and I have to admit, I mean, he just hasn't been very relevant for the last decade or so almost. So, if you want to kind of put yourself back in the discussion, the Sun Belt, compete for conference championships, you want somebody that's shown they can do that. And Charles Huff has done it in a place that's, you know, somewhat similar. You're going to, you know, your talent pool is going to come from a different area. He had to go to Florida to get all his players again and come to West Virginia. I mean, yeah, and now he's going to be recruiting out of Hattiesburg and have access to guys that he recruited during his time, and, you know, Alabama and Mississippi State recruited very well at a very high level. So I think it makes a ton of sense for Southern Miss. I mean, I don't see how they would have really hired anybody more qualified for the job. And as somebody, you know, you see what Mississippi State is going through, and, you know, I think Louisiana right now has got a good thing going, but I think somebody like a Charles Huff really puts them back on a level to where they can compete with the teams they have to compete with in the Sun Belt Conference. That includes South Alabama, Louisiana. I mean, I think this is really a legitimate hire and basically the best possible outcome, in my belief.
I think if at the start of the year you would have told somebody the coach that's going to take his team to the conference championship game will then come to Hattiesburg and take over the Golden Eagles, you'd say you're crazy. But it appears that's exactly what's happened, Patrick.
Yeah, he's only 41 years old, and he's got head coach, you know, 4 years as a head coach at Marshall, and has done well there. Beat Notre Dame, beat a lot of good teams. Yeah, I mean, I just don't see how you top that, to be honest.
You know, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer here, but there's always a possibility that it could go wrong. And, sure. You know, when you hired Will Hall, everybody thought the same, that it was a home run hire, the best you could do. Patrick, it seems like to me that if it does happen to go south, it's almost a throw your hands up sort of thing, and like, I don't know what to do with the Southern Miss
Merry Christmas, Damon.
Well, I mean, you got to temper your expectations a little bit. You know, we're in the freezing cold barn. I mean, we got to hit on Charles Hall
from a guy getting married next week. Yeah, yeah.
But I just I would think you'd throw your hands almost.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I see what you're saying. If Huff doesn't work, I mean, how is it going to work?
You know? Exactly.
I mean, and I think, but the good part of this is I think Huff has learned a good deal. You know, he hasn't been perfect during his time at Marshall. He won football games. He brought really good talent in there to Huntington, West Virginia. And he can, there's no reason he can't do the same in Hattiesburg. So, but I mean, I think he's worked out some of the kinks in his early in career. Maybe he admitted he made a mistake or two. Part of the reason probably he and administration are on the outs, but all signs point to a guy that's able to come in and run a program and build something that's going to matter in the conference. But yeah, I mean, Southern Miss needs something bad, and this kind of a hire is probably what they need.
Patrick, when you talk about Coach Huff, one of the descriptions that people have of him, it's almost consistent: iron-fisted, disciplinarian, in-your-face kind of guy. And Bob had mentioned in the pre-show today, you don't get to be the associate head coach at Alabama and work for Nick Saban if you're not kind of, you know, cut off of that cloth. And everybody seems to think that's exactly what Southern Miss needs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I don't think Hobson and Hall were both player coaches. I think both of them would kind of describe themselves as that. But the thing is Huff maybe isn't that type, but he's shown that he is an exceptional recruiter. He did that at Mississippi State, and he was so good at Alabama that he became Nick Saban's associate head coach. You know, Huff is a guy, you know, he's a guy that, you know, has a lot of ahead of him. You know, if he wins big at Southern Miss over the next 4 or 5 years, he's going to go get a really good job somewhere else. But Southern Miss fans should be grateful for that. If Huff is kicking butt at Southern Miss and, you know, winning 9-10 games and getting the conference championship games, there's going to be programs calling. But that's what Southern Miss needs, is they need somebody that's going to come in there that's hungry, wants to deliver on the field, isn't talking about, oh, this is my last coaching job. No, he wants to come in there and deliver.
That's a great point, Patrick. If an SEC school comes calling for Charles Huff 3 years from now, we know this was a great hire. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's a sign that you hired the right guy. I mean, Larry Fedora, correct, you know, right guy. You know, Munkin was on the way up, kind of left in an awkward situation there. But those are guys that came and delivered, and they were able to move up in the world.
Well, it's good news, and I guess you're with us that you think we know now who the coach is going to be without question.
Well, I mean, I don't know for sure. I'm kind of relying on what everybody's saying, but all signs point to it. I haven't heard things one way or another. I was kind of suspicious that maybe last week that he's looking for leverage at Marshall, but it does sound like he's on the outs there.
But then again, what would Patrick know about football teams that are struggling? I mean, after all,
he's the sports editor of the Times.
In New Orleans. Yeah, I guess so.
All right, Patrick, before we run out of time, you know, what's the obit on the New Orleans Saints?
The obit.
Well, I mean, I think you still feel pretty good about what Darren Rizzi's done as interim head coach. But, you know, right now the Saints are probably a lost cause in terms of the postseason. Something really crazy would have to happen over this next 4 weeks, especially with Taysom Hill. But, yeah, I mean, it's time to start thinking about a rebuild.
Is there any chance he will be the coach? Do you think the interim will be considered, or is there other names that maybe you've heard?
I think there will be some consideration, but I think the optics will be bad. I think most Saints fans know they need to hire on the outside. Now, Rizzi's kind of won some fans during the short period because, I mean, he's been the complete opposite of Dennis Allen personality-wise. So I think Rizzi's, you know, going to put himself somewhat to discussion, but I would put him, like, probably about, if you want to create odds, he'd be about fourth or fifth in the pecking order and as to who's going to be the next Saints head coach.
Is there any name that jumps out at you?
Oh, well, I mean, everybody's going to talk about Todd Munkin. I think Aaron Glenn.
Oh, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator, makes a lot of sense as well. He's somebody that's a bit part of that Lions outfit. He knows what he would be getting into in New Orleans. I think he makes a lot of sense. as head coach. I think Glenn right now would probably be your odds-on favorite, but Munkin would be in the conversation as well.
He's an impressive guy. He's an impressive guy.
But those are names quite, you know, to be fair, those are going to be names that a lot of teams are going to be talking about. Right. Glenn and Munkin are going to be at the top of just about everybody's list. But
yeah, now that the Bears' job is open too. So
Right. Munkin could end up as the Bears' head coach.
Or the D.C.
That could very well happen, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you think Munkin's destined to become an NFL head coach, though, don't you, Patrick?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I mean, he's, you know, I think he's the type of personality. He's at that point in his career where it's kind of a no-brainer. He deserves another chance. It's just a matter of where he's going to get it.
Right, yeah, right. You were at the Pelicans game last night, I understand. Yeah. How does that look?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the losing streak was at 8 or 9 games. I went out and I went and watched Devin Booker. I covered in high school at Moss Point, and the Pelicans got Brandon Ingram and Herb Jones back, and that made all the difference in the world. And they were able to beat the Suns in New Orleans. And if they could kind of get this core together for a little while longer, they're going to win some basketball games. But again, it's kind of a big question mark whenever Zion Williamson and some other guys are going to get back in the fold. But last night they looked like a good basketball team.
Well, that's something that the New Orleans Chamber of Commerce can put up on signs. If you want to come here for a 7 or 8 game losing streak, we're your city. Between the Saints and the Pelicans, it's been rough.
Every team in the South.
So many injuries for both teams. Benson owns both teams, and she needs to find some new trainers. I don't know.
That's what I wish I'd have done. I wish I could have been like an NFL, NBA owner. That'd be fun, don't you think, Kelly?
There's only one thing standing between you and that, Bob, about
money.
$100 billion, yeah.
Hey, Patrick, we always appreciate you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, y'all too.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor of the Times Picky. I take great pride in saying that. You know, he was the first regular contributor to the show, and look what it did for his career.
Shot straight up the pole, right?
We'll be back. We're in the Laurel Fairground in a very cold, very attractive barn. More Eagle Hour after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
Mary on the Ferry. Is that right? I'm sorry? Mary on the Midway. That's the name of the festival taking place here in Laurel, and it's beautiful. We're at the Laurel Fairgrounds, and it kicks off tonight. Man, there are going to be some kind of Christmas lights outside. Nice, really pretty barn in here where they're showing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You got kids. Christmas is about kids largely. Bring your kids here tonight, and we think throughout the weekend you're going to have a great time. And I guess it's between here and Christmas. We're going to have the director of this organization on with us here in just a few minutes, and we'll be happy to share all that information with you. All right, Fridays we go to Will Easton. He's been with us since back when it was like 150 degrees, and trust me, Will, where we're at right now, it is the opposite of that. It is very cold. But the high school football playoffs are underway, and Will, as we told you already, we have seen more wins in the Rock than we saw all year at Southern Miss football.
Ooh. Where's the
you
train
gotta look
wreck
for the pot, fellas? I mean,
we're looking hard. We're looking hard, Will. We just haven't uncovered it just yet. Great action that got underway last night. Of course, it's a big deal for Hattiesburg because a lot of folks are in town and they shop here and they eat here and they do Christmas activities here, and the action has been really good. There's really probably nothing more exciting than this weekend. Is that fair to say, Will?
Yeah, it's really fun. And the way that they do it now, with the three days where they spread the games out over the days, I really like that.
since we've added this 7A classification. And really the lineup, the way that they're doing it too, is kind of interesting. So last night we had Choctaw County and Noxubee County. And that was an exciting game. Kind of came down to the wire. Choctaw County wins its first ever state championship. They beat Noxubee County 34-27. I think Kamario Taylor for Noxubee County, who's the quarterback who just signed with Mississippi State, I think this is his third state championship game in a row, and he lost all three of them, which is heartbreaking for him, but he's going to go off and do some big things because he's an electric player. But congrats to Choctaw County. Kind of came, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but really they had some really talented players. I wasn't expecting them to make the state championship game, but they did, and they won it and won the first ever in school history. And then last night, what a great game. By Tupelo jumps out to a big 14-0 lead. And Tupelo, guys, has been – I'm from that area, and they haven't won a state championship game since 1992, which is interesting because it's such a big school. And that it's kind of like Hattiesburg in that it's a hub city and that everybody kind of goes there to shop and all this kind of stuff. And it's a huge – the campus is beautiful, and it's huge and all this kind of stuff. But they just haven't had the success. It's had a lot of regular season success, but not success in the playoffs. But now they finally get their first state championship since 1992. They beat Brandon last night 28-16. And this kid, this running back for them, is coming back next year. And I expect that they'll probably be making a run next year as well. J.J. Hill finished the game with three touchdowns. Get this. This year, he averaged 9.2 yards per carry, okay? Averaging nearly a first down per carry. And he had 34 touchdowns on the season. Pretty amazing. So those are the games we've already had. Tupelo is your 7A state champ. Here in a little bit, a couple hours, we're going to have Baldwin versus Hollandale Simmons. Baldwin, a lot of points on the board this year. They've had, I think, six games where they scored over 40 points. They've had a couple 60-point games in there. But they're going to be facing Hollandale Simmons, which is – their numbers look almost comical at how good they are. They allowed 12 points in the regular season. That's it, 12. I know teams that have done that in half a quarter, okay? They've allowed 12 the entire regular season, and they're really on a roll. They put up a lot of points, and they're tough to beat. But Baldwin's been here before, so I'm kind of interested to see who's going to win that one. And then after that, we got West Point and Gaucher. Gaucher's got one of the most electric players in the state this year. Trey Irving, the quarterback for Gaucher, 43 touchdowns this season, nearly 4,000 yards of offense. Going up against West Point, who has been – it's amazing. What is this, their ninth year in a row to be in the state championship game? In a large class – it's just – I'm fairly certain that's never happened before. That's got to break some sort of record for public schools. It's just incredible. Then we've got the 2A game on Saturday at noon. That's going to be Charleston and Heidelberg, and that's actually a rematch from last year. So that's an interesting one. You don't often have rematches, but when you do, and that was a close one last year, so I think that's going to be fun. And then we're going to have Poplarville versus Louisville. Louisville never lost the state championship game. This is their fifth appearance in 6 years. They've won more state championships than anybody else, and they've never lost the state championship game. They don't lose many games. To begin with, their senior class this year, guys, has only lost two games since being in high school. That's it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
And they're getting better every single week. Poplarville's played a very tough schedule this year, and they played a lot of close games. I wonder, Louisville's just they're a machine when they get in the playoffs, and it's going to be a tough road to hoe for Poplarville. And then finally, guys, how about this? Hattiesburg, the team that we've been talking about, the biggest surprise all season, not hosting, but essentially hosting, kind of like Tampa Bay did in 2021 when they were in the Super Bowl in their home stadium. That's what Hattiesburg Tigers have tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Got Grenada coming in. Grenada was in the state championship game last year and lost, but Hattiesburg has just been so electric. And they, you know, we talked a lot about their offense and Deuce Vance and all this kind of stuff, but it's really been their defense. And the battle will be, tomorrow night, will be between Hattiesburg's front seven and that running back for Grenada, whose name escapes me. He's got like – his name's McCaleb Taylor. He's got 2,500 rushing yards this year and 36 touchdowns. He is a load, and that is going to be the battle of the game. If he can get, you know, if he can average 4 yards a carry, I think it's going to be a long road to hoe for Hattiesburg. But if Hattiesburg's defensive front, which they've done this year, they've done most this year, they've been very good. If they can somehow can control him, they definitely have a shot to knock off Grenada.
It seems like the finale, the grand finale, Hattiesburg hosting Grenada for that 6A championship, Will, right?
Yeah, I think that's you know, in years past, they put the 7A as kind of a nightcap on Friday night. But now that they've expanded it to three days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I kind of like having the 6A as your nightcap. And I, you know, at first I was not excited about having the 7A, which is usually your marquee game. It's your biggest classification on Thursday night. But the more I think about it, I liked it because I was at home last night watching the game. Whereas if it was a normal Friday night, you know, I'm either working or I've got other games going on. So I think having that 7A game on Thursday night is working out really well. Well, it'll be interesting to see what the attendance numbers are. There was a lot of Tupelo folks who made the trip yesterday to see Tupelo win that game.
Yeah, it was pretty packed.
You know, the Louisvilles of the world, they're always getting attention, and rightly so, for what they do on the field. But I like to give shout-outs to the teams that are hardly ever there. So a salute to the Goche Gators and the Heidelberg Oilers. Although this is the second year in a row they've been to the title game, Heidelberg, as you know, Will, for years was just an asterisk in any football conversation. They just were no good at all. So the fact that the Oilers have got there now 2 years in a row, and Goche is really a team you don't hear about in any sport. So the fact that they're there, good for those communities. I'm glad for them.
I listen to this about Heidelberg. Heidelberg lost, they only lost this season. They lost to Bay Springs at Bay Springs 16-8 back on September 13th. Friday the 13th, they lost 16-8. I want to give you the scores of their next five games. 56-0, 56-0, 56-0, 58-0, 52-0, and then they won 70-7, and then they closed out the regular season 58-6. There hasn't been a team. Bay Springs, they turned around and they beat Bay Springs 2 weeks ago. The only team to beat them this year, they beat them 30-8. Okay, so think about that. That is a run, 56-0. I mean, when you're averaging a 50-point win every single week. That's pretty incredible. I don't know what the coach said to them to light a fire underneath them, but they have one of the best offenses this year. I think – I may be wrong about this, but I think they've scored the most points in public high school football. They've scored 660 points so far this year. I think that's the most by anybody.
Incredible.
You're right. You remember they had that whole incident 2 years ago where their coach got – you know, there was something at a game.
Yeah.
He got arrested and made national news, and they had to change coaches before the season began. And here they are. They made it to the state championship game last year, lost to Charleston, and here they are again in a rematch. Great for them.
Well, are we still in that rotation that they're rotating these championship games between the three Division I campuses in Mississippi?
Yeah, so it's like every 5 years, I think, each one will host. I don't know the exact. You know, M.M. Roberts had it 2 years in a row, and then it went to Starkville and then Oxford. Last year was in Oxford. I don't know if it's like another year for M.M. Roberts and then back to Oxford and then Starkville. But they are rotating it around.
All right, it's fun talking to you. We'll wrap it up next Friday. You good for one more session with us?
Yeah, we'll do it.
All right. Thanks, Will. We appreciate you, man. Will East, everybody. Program Director, Super Talk Mississippi. Don't forget the high school scoreboard show tonight at 10 o'clock. When we come back, Chase Welbert is the director of the fairgrounds here in Laurel. He's heading up Mary on the Midway, and we're going to be talking to him next. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Continuing live from the Laurel Fairgrounds, if you're coming north tonight to Mary on the Midway, you will want to get off on the South Laurel exit. Well, actually, if you're coming south, you would also get off on the South Laurel exit. But the fairgrounds, of course, if you're familiar with South Mississippi, just off of the interstate, so you can't hardly miss it. Those are magic words to get people in trouble by. You know, you can't hardly miss it. But Chase Welborn joins us now. He is the executive director of the South Mississippi Fair Commission. It was his idea to put Mary on the Midway together, and it was approved by the board. And Chase, as we welcome you, why don't you move on over here a little bit closer to us here, Chase? Even though you can hear us,
we can shout across the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Chase.
Yeah, even though you can hear us, tell us about the genesis of the idea and how this all came about, and then we're going to break it down and tell people what they're going to see tonight, tomorrow, and subsequent weekends.
Okay. So the idea came about, you know, of course we have the fairgrounds, and we just came out of the 104th edition of the South Mississippi Fair, but the board really wanted to bring something else to the fairgrounds, and so we decided what would be a good time of the year to do that, and we decided that Christmas, you know, is a time that people love to celebrate, always looking for something to get out and do with their family, friends, and their children. And so we basically created Mary on the Midway, this new event, which is, you know, a Christmas light event. It's Mary on the Midway Christmas in Lights. We run from 12 nights, starting tonight at 5 o'clock. And we have all kinds of things. We're super excited. There's a lot to experience when you come.
But it's one thing to come up with an idea, but it's a whole other thing to implement it. Okay, so as the idea started to take shape, how did you break it down, and what will people see tonight as this kind of a walkthrough event here?
So I will say we came up with the idea. I started thinking about it for the commission in really early March, and it was approved in March. And for a Christmas event, that's a short time frame to try to get it together. And so I've been working overtime on the drawing board to, you know, every aspect of the event, every light, you know, coming up with what we're going to do. And there's so many different things. I mean, it's not just you just don't walk through and look at Christmas lights. You can. We have thousands of lights out on the fairgrounds. We're a portion of the fairgrounds this year, and we'll continue to grow, you know, each year. But also, you can experience Santa's Village. We've turned our art building into an immersive experience at Santa's Village, where you can go in. We have a candy shop. We have a bakery that is, you know, sponsored by Shug's here in Laurel. They'll be in the bakery. Then we go, you have reindeer stables where the kids get to go, you know, look at reindeer, and it's set up like Santa's reindeer stables, and you can make reindeer food to take home with you. Across from that is the North Pole Post Office. You go and write your letters to Santa and do little coloring sheets, and you can mail your letter to Santa right there. And then in the village, to top it all off, Santa himself will be there in his workshop, and you can go into his workshop, have your picture made with Santa, and, you know, experience the magic of Santa's Village at the North Pole.
And if it gets a little bit too cold for you,
I was fixing to say, word has it on the street that y'all are going to turn up the temperature a little bit tonight.
We're in the agricultural building here.
We're in the ag building, which has been converted into Holly Music Hall and Theater. So in here is where all the live music performances will be, as well as Christmas movies throughout the 12 nights. So every night we have live entertainment. We have a jingle jazz series, 6 different nights with jazz groups. We have pianists. We have some choirs and handbell choirs. We have Miss Mississippi here this weekend on Sunday, reading the night before Christmas. And then in between, we'll be showing Christmas movies, different Christmas movies each evening. And so there's a lot to experience. There's a popcorn stand. I think you guys got some popcorn.
Kelly found it, believe me.
Yeah,
believe me. Kelly found the popcorn.
And it's excellent.
But there's a lot for you to come out and do. You know, we were able to go out and get a lot of sponsors to help us bring this event because it is an investment, and we hope the community, you know, comes out and enjoys it. But as far as the temperature is concerned, I would say bundle up. I mean, if you're doing a Christmas event, you want it to be cold like this.
That's right. So you got to get in the spirit.
And I will say, we'll let you know, the weathermen forecast the weather, but there may be a little snow out here on the fairgrounds, you know, at certain times through the event. So you want to get out and check it out.
Oh, boy, that's a little temptation to bring you out.
Yep.
Maybe some snow. I don't know that it's going to, but you're right. Rather than being warm, if you had to choose, you'd want it to be cold. And you talked about the bakery, you talked about all the, but there are going to be food vendors as well that people can enjoy.
So we have, yes, the bakery. You can go into the bakery, get sweet treats, the homemade goods, baked goods, and then the candy shop where you get, you know, packaged candy, Christmas candies. And then we have the Candy Cane Cafe where you can pick up, you know, hamburger, hot dog, sausage dog combos, and then Freeman's funnel cakes, Christmas funnel cakes, and taffy will be in the Candy Cane Cafe. And we also have hot chocolate, cider, coffee stand as you come in. And so there is food, you know, throughout. In every area, there's something.
And I'll ask the next question for Kelly's sake. Is there any way we can get a sample of any of that food like right now?
So when they get fired up later this afternoon, I'm sure we can make that happen.
There you go.
Because everything is changing, Chase, with different performers and so on and so forth, how can people, on a particular night that they might be coming, how can they keep track of what events are going to be at what times?
So we'll be posting on Facebook, you know, as we get open, this entertainment schedule. That'll go up for this weekend. It goes up this afternoon. Us getting open, there's been some adjustments we've made here and there, but the entertainment schedule will go up this afternoon. They can go to our website, maryonthemidway.com, to purchase tickets and to see what entertainment each weekend will be here. And follow us on Facebook. That's a good source for information and last-minute information.
And that is Mary, E-R-R-Y.
That is right.
Not the proper name of the Virgin Mary, right, or whatever you might M-E-R-R-Y, onthemidway.com.
.com.
Right? In putting this all together, just doing live acts,
yeah,
is tough enough.
Will there be any kind of not live nativity or anything like that going on, or...?
There is not a live nativity this year. That is in the master plan as we grow.
Gotcha.
But because of space purposes, we weren't able to get that one in this year, but that is coming.
Well, now to be fair, I got a little bit confused, and Dima as well, we got a little bit confused as to how to get to where we're supposed to be for this show today. What do you recommend if people aren't familiar with the fairground layout, because it's going to be dark,
right? Yeah.
Right. So what are your parking recommendations or best way to get here and get parked?
Well, as you come off exit 93, you know, towards the fairgrounds, you will see we have boards out that say Mary on the Midway Parking on Dunkirk Road, and you will come into the main parking lot off of Dunkirk that, if you have been to our fair before, most people around here know where that is. We'll have blue lights, you know, security will be at those roads as well, so you'll know where to come. You'll park in the main parking lot, and you enter through our main ticket entrance, gate 3. So people who are not familiar, if you look up our address, 1457 Ellisville Boulevard, that's going to take you to gate 3, which is our Magnolia Center entrance. You won't be able to get in there. That will be locked, so you will turn around, follow the signs, the directional signs, LED boards, and that will take you to the main parking lot.
Can you get tickets ahead of time?
You can. They've been available. They're still available online. You can buy them. It's per weekend. So today, if you would select, you know, the 6th through the 8th for your tickets, or the next weekend, we're the 12th through the 15th. But you can get those. You can get those before you come in. You will go through security, and then once you pass security, you'll be able to walk right on in with your QR code. They'll scan it, and you'll be able to start the experience.
That's the new thing, Dima. Your generation has come up with the QR code.
You know, they're starting to do QR code at my church for tithing. You know,
really?
Now. So, it's getting crazy.
I saw a
woman with a QR code on her vest the other day, and she was asking for donations for some hospital or something. And I was just like,
yes, the wave of the future.
What are we doing? Just like, we're going around ding, ding, ding,
well,
scan, scan.
You know. I feel like people don't like to wait in the line, so that's
no, I mean, it makes sense.
You can buy it on your way over,
right,
you know, or a couple of days ahead of time, and you're able to get in a little faster. Now, I will say that's not the only way you can get the tickets. Of course, you can go online, you know, to our website to get those tickets, but you also can come right up to our main ticket entrance, and you can buy tickets at the window.
Well, there you go.
So Mary on the Midway will consist of the next 4 weekends, but the weekends include Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so it's 12 nights.
So we're 12 nights. This weekend, we're the 6th through the 8th. Next week, we're the 12th through the 15th, and the last run is the 18th through the 22nd.
Okay. So that that last bulk closer to Christmas are the days that.
That's right.
So and their Facebook page, Mary on the Midway.
So our Facebook page is the South Mississippi Fair / Magnolia Center, and all the Mary on the Midway information is posted there.
And their own particular website, though, their original website,
MaryOnTheMidway.com.
All right, Chase, and you've been doing this how long now?
So, as far as the job,
here. Okay. Yeah.
I have been here. I've worked, you know, in a part-time basis with the fair prior to 2020, but I came on in 2023 and went full-time in 24.
Well, you've got your hands full this weekend. I know you've got your elves running around
all over the place doing the final details.
Getting ready for tonight, and it will debut at 5:00, and it's something that you want to put on your calendar. If not this weekend, then certainly the subsequent dates coming up. Chase Welborn, we wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, guys.
All right, we'll take a commercial break. When we come back, our final college football picks of the year, and once again a change at the top of the leaderboard. That and more stuff when we continue in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to Laurel Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road. We're sitting here in the cold eating popcorn and having a good time. You'll have a good time if you come here tonight. Kelly, it sounded like a great event, great interview, and it really sounded like Chase has really got it going out here.
Yeah, huh? Come on.
I've tried so hard in the past,
It's coming out of his mouth.
To develop some class with him. It's a failure. It's an absolute failure.
There's not a whole lot you can do with a pop.
Let me cut his mic. All right. All right. I'm going to turn it over to you, Dima. Go ahead. Kelly's mic is officially cut.
All right, so the Super Pick standings. Kelly is unfortunately in first place.
I don't believe it.
With 131 points. Me and Bob are tied at 130. Let's get these quick because we got a lot to pick.
I'm demanding a recount.
Quick picks here. UNLV in the Mountain West Championship taking on Boise State. Boise State's a 4.5-point favorite.
I'm taking UNLV.
All right.
Tell me straight again. Up. I'm sorry. He just
UNLV versus
me as
Boise
he's
State
done a million times. We're not picking the scores.
Well, Kelly didn't. I guess he's not won those points. You can pick the score
real quick.
Who's favored?
Boise State by 4.
I like Boise State 38-21.
Yeah, I'm taking Boise State all day. 42-20. Iowa State against the Arizona State,
loser.
Probably for a playoff spot.
Loser.
Arizona State's a 1.5-point favorite.
Arizona State beats Iowa State by 10.
Oh, no. I like Iowa State 28-14.
No, I'm taking Arizona State for sure. 31-13.
We didn't have to answer so fast.
Oh, Iowa State's terrible. I'm sorry. All right, number 5, Georgia taking on Texas for the SEC championship game. What you got, Bob?
I like Texas. I like Texas 34-20.
I don't. I like Georgia. I like Georgia by a field goal.
Okay. You're going to pick the score because you're losing points when you don't pick the score.
Why don't you maybe put the popcorn down just till the end of the second?
Because Dima,
you can take it with you.
When I turned my head a minute ago, Dima ate the rest of mine. 20-17.
He's hopeless. All right, I got Texas 23-22 over Georgia.
Texas is going to win.
Clemson, 17th-ranked Clemson against SMU in the ACC championship game. SMU's a 2.5-point favorite.
And SMU's going to win. SMU's going to win 24-20.
They're good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are good.
I like SMU 31-28.
Yeah, I'm going to take Clemson to beat SMU 31-28 over the Ponies. All right, number three, Penn State in the Big Ten Championship game, thanks to Ohio State. We're not going to comment on that, but Ohio State not in the Big Ten Championship game. They're playing Oregon, number one Oregon. Oregon's a 3.5-point favorite.
Penn State is overrated, and Oregon has proven to me that they are the number one team in the country. I like Oregon, 31-17.
I like the Ducks myself, 34-14.
See, I don't think Penn State's going to really score any in this game, but I do think they're going to hold Oregon down. I got it 26-6 over Penn State, 26-6. All right, and then for the Sun Belt Championship game, Marshall, the Fighting Charles Huffs, who sources say might be the next head coach at Southern Miss, and I would think all Southern Miss fans better be rooting hard for the Cajuns in this game. The Cajuns hosting the Thundering Herd, 5.5-point home favorites. It's a home game for them. Why don't you pick the Sun Belt Championship?
Well, I think Louisiana wins. I think Marshall's going to be a little distracted, and I like Louisiana over the Thundering Eagles, 24-14.
I don't. I think Marshall's going to win. They're going to huff
and puff
and blow the Cajuns' house down.
Boy, he is
21-20.
Wow. See, I was going to be the outlier.
Can I throw a flag on that?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, the flag wouldn't have been so bad if it hadn't been used, you know. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have we cut his mic yet?
You haven't made your pick.
I got Louisiana 24-17 over Marshall.
You said you were going to be the outlier.
Well, I thought y'all were going to pick Marshall to be funny. So.
Oh.
No, I'm picking Louisiana. I think they win.
Is that
it? Yeah, that's it. That's all the picks.
Is he really 1 point?
He's 1 point ahead. So basically,
he hasn't led the whole year.
But he's probably about to lose because the first two games he didn't even pick a score, so he just lost those.
No, I gave you. I came back.
So those are
not to UNLV and Boise State.
Well, that's a forfeit.
That's a forfeit.
No, it's not either.
That's a forfeit.
So how about you stick to eating your popcorn over there?
Give me that sheet of paper, please.
Which one? This one?
Yes. I want to invite everybody to come to Mary on the Midway, and I want to thank Charles for having us here. The dates tonight through Sunday, the next weekend, the 12th through the 15th, and then the 18th through the 22nd. And they've done a lot of work here. They've really worked to make this a really unique and nice Christmas experience, and there's just not a child in the world that would enjoy coming here.
And I will confirm that all three of us are going to head to the doctor's appointment after this to go get checked for hypothermia. So.
That's exactly right.
The popcorn is excellent.
Yeah, we noticed.
Do you have a coat, center?
I don't need one.
I wish we had.
He's got popcorn kernels all over his shirt.
Kelly is actually dressed like an adult today, everyone. He has on long pants and a shirt.
Well, I would hope so.
Or something? Well, no, I'm sorry. Don't answer that.
I was going to say.
No, let me cut your mic. I don't even want to take a chance on that being answered. You're actually going to see a play tonight, aren't
That's
you?
Right. The musical Elf down in New
well,
Orleans.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay. A good holiday event.
Thanks for having us here, Ben. Next time I ask you if it's indoors, tell me the truth. It is indoors. You just didn't say that it's. Oh, yeah, it's indoors and it's a barn with no heater.
Bob, Monday, maybe we're going to finally get to talk about Southern Miss's new head coach.
We'll be talking about the new football coach Monday, we believe, on the
Super Talk
Eagle. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you have a happy weekend. Next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
This popcorn's good. Slipping into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.